Hey guys, Jim Cox, FFG Advisors, Park Avenue Securities, and I'm here today with an interview with Priya Sane. She is an organizer with Direct Action Everywhere, and it's a movement that I first became aware of about a year ago, I guess. Chase Avior kind of pointed them out, and they have just been in fuego in terms of raising awareness in terms of speciesism and the abuse of animals and just really raising consciousness. So Priya, thanks for taking the time to chat today.
Thank you so much for having me on here. I'm really excited to be here.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about your background. What do you do and how did you get involved with DXC?
Well, a little bit about my background. First of all, I am an organizer with Direct Action Everywhere, and right now we're facing 7 felony charges for documenting conditions at a massive organic poultry producer. And the way I got involved in the animal rights originally was I was born and raised in India, and I moved here when I was 11 years old. And as a child, I always loved animals. I just was in love with every single animal I ever came across, and it was just came as a rude shock to me when I learned about what happens at farms and slaughterhouses all across the world. And I just knew that I had to do something about it. So myself and a few of my friends co-founded DXC, but before I did that, I was actually working in San Francisco's low-income neighborhood at trying to organize for communities of color. So I had, always just kind of had a heart to help those who really are not in a position to help themselves, whether that's humans or non-humans. And that's really my passion in life, is to help others.
Mm. That's awesome. So DXC was what, founded about a year ago? You guys organized it about a year ago at a conference?
No, Direct Action Everywhere, we've been around since 2013.
Oh, okay.
It's been a few years now, and we first started off as a group, and people probably heard of us going inside of Whole Foods and Chipotle's and protesting the humane myth, which, by the way, we still do. And now we're more notorious and known for our open rescue work, which is a tactic where activists walk inside of facilities, whether it's slaughterhouses or farms, and document conditions, document criminal animal cruelty. And one of the most inspiring things about open rescue is that we walk out with animals and then we show the public that these animals are individuals and that they have the capacity to feel pain, to feel love, and use those stories to really get the message of animal rights out there.
I know that you guys have had a number of experiences recently which have led to kind of run-ins with the law and arrests and court appearances and so forth. Can you share anything about like what's happened?
Yeah, definitely. So in September of 2018, we went to Petaluma Poultry, which is the largest organic poultry producer in the nation. And, we went there to document conditions, to give the public the right to know what's happening inside these so-called organic farms, which tout about how, they treat their animals really well, et cetera. And when we walked inside of this facility, our goal was basically to practice our legal right. And that is that every citizen in California under the California Penal Code 597E has a legal right to go on to facilities where animals are being criminally abused and help those animals. And so that's exactly what we tried to do. There was over 100 activists, and all of them were, there to basically do exactly that. And there was even a medical triage unit that was set up to help these poor, injured, dying birds. And within moments of walking inside a facility, some of our activists came out with dead hens, with dying hens, with hens that were so injured that they couldn't get up. And so, like any human, we did what we thought we had the legal right to do, which is to help an animal. And I don't know if you're familiar with this, with the fact that in California, if a dog is trapped in a hot car and is unable to get out, you and I have the legal right to bust open that window and help that dog. So when all of us went to this farm in September, we were essentially doing the same thing. The species just happened to be different.
Yeah. So has that been upheld to kind of apply the standard of that particular law to chickens or cows or what have you in terms of factory farms?
That's a really good question. Right now, no one has ever argued in the court that this law can be applied to other animals. But the interesting thing about California is that there literally is no exemption for farm animals. So, you know, in other states such as Nebraska, there is, you know, they do say, hey, we, you know, this law does not apply to animals being raised for slaughter. In California, that's not the case. So according to the law, what we did was 100% legal. But of course, there's always the way that law is interpreted, and the powers to be are scared of the public going inside of these facilities, documenting these conditions, and have no interest in, you know, upholding the law. So they're saying what we did is illegal, and, you know, they have a lot of power. They have a lot of money, and they are arguing that what we did was illegal, so they're charging us with 7 felonies each, including things like burglary and conspiracy.
So, I mean, they're basically using the money and their power to try to silence, you know, what is going on within facilities, which they claim to be one thing, but is actually something completely different that consumers really should have a right to know about.
You know what? Exactly what you said. They're saying that they're treating their animals well. And the reality about the industry is that, when I say industry, I mean animal agriculture. The reality about that is that a lot of companies now, mostly all companies, are talking and touting about how they treat their animals humanely, because this is just the new, you know, people talk about greenwashing. Well, yeah, this is humane washing, and now it's like a sexy thing to have it on your label and tout about how you treat your animals well. But there's no real standard or enforcement. So essentially what we're saying is, hey, let us come in as unbiased third-party auditors who actually care about the animals, not profit, the animals, and let us do the auditing.
Yeah.
But they don't want us to do that, because once we start doing that, we find that there's horrendous conditions inside these facilities, and why wouldn't there be? There's tens of thousands of chickens who are being raised for food, who are being denied access to food and water, who are so, their bodies have been so unnaturally grown, you know, have grown so large that they can, they're unable to stand, which means that they get oftentimes get trampled on or can never access food or water. And once we show that this is what's happening inside these facilities, the public is not going to want to support this.
Yeah.
And the industry is really, really scared of that, and hence the charges, you know. So
how are you as an individual able to afford to defend yourself against these kinds of charges?
Well, our lawyers are really, really excited about representing us in this case. So a lot of our lawyers are pro bono.
Awesome.
And my personal lawyer is the best lawyer, best attorney in Sonoma County. And he approached us saying, hey, I want to be a part of this case. And we're finding that more and more, you know, even these attorneys who honestly probably eat animals are thinking, there is no way that these people are criminals. And I mean, I like to think of myself as a good person who wants to help other people, wants to help other animals. My co-defendants who are facing these felony charges with me are also really good people. You know, some of them don't like to even, you know, do anything disobedient. They've been raised in a very strict, the co-founder of DXE, in strict Chinese home, where, like, you just follow the rules. Like, we are not rule breakers. And so what we're arguing is that we are upholding the law.
Yeah.
We are not breaking it. So
it's not just upholding the law, but I would take it a step farther and say it's about upholding moral law, right? Because the reality is, when you look at the essence of spirituality that everybody claims the mantle for, whether it's Christianity or whatnot, it's based on love your neighbor and love life and do no harm. And yet, you know, we exist in a society where this kind of torture and, you know, just wrongness is rampant. And, you know, it's a matter of, we need people to stand up and say, hey, enough.
Exactly. And what you said is so true. You know, most people don't want to hurt animals. And the reality is that there's these large corporations, such as Petaluma Poultry, these, you know, and again, these people are doing their job, and I in no way mean to characterize them as people, you know, who are just are incapable of doing the right thing. But they have been bought into this idea that animals just are not capable of feeling pain, and that it's their right to exploit them however they want to.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is that the system designs a way for people to behave which it says is valid, and the reality is the problem is with the system itself.
Right, exactly.
So, what can be done by individual people in terms of mm-hmm. being able to make companies, I guess, come to a realization that there's a better path?
That's a really good question. And I think the answer lies in, you know, these companies are, I think the way I would like to answer that question is by saying people can do a lot by joining the movement, joining the animal rights movement, and taking direct action against these companies and saying, hey, abusing these animals, lying about it, is unacceptable because you're essentially not even following your own moral code. Yeah. Oftentimes you go on the website of these companies and talk about how they have integrity, how they have all of these characteristics, which are, you know, they're touting about honesty, about integrity, about compassion. And when we go to these places and say, hey, look, you're not even following your own standard that you set for yourself. And if that's the case, then that is a really big problem. And the only way we can get these massive corporations to listen to us is by taking nonviolent direct action, by going onto the front lines, by going to these facilities and compassionately but assertively saying, these animals deserve better. And yeah. It's our legal right and our moral obligation to help them. So let us do that. Open the doors, show people what's going on. If you truly believe in transparency, if you truly believe that you are doing the right thing, then why do these companies spend billions of dollars? Why are they so interested in repressing activists? Why are they suing us for doing something that they should be thanking us for and say, hey, thanks for going inside of this place and showing us that that we're not following our own standards. You know, if they thought that they could do something to correct it, they probably would. But the reality is that they can't really do that because they know what's happening inside is so scary that the last thing they want is for the public to see them. So I would say join the animal rights movement. Join activists in your cities. Go to a vigil. Go to an AV action and take part. Come to a DXC action and go to a court support action where people are in court supporting activists and defendants who are facing multiple felonies.
I saw on one of the statements of charges against you guys that they actually classified it was like theft of fruits and vegetables, which I was like, fruits and vegetables? What the hell does that mean? And why was that one of the charges?
Well, interestingly enough, the reason that was one of the charges is because chickens are not considered animals.
That's insane.
According to the industry, chickens are classified under fruits or vegetables.
That is literally insane.
Yeah, and if anyone knows basic science, chickens are animals.
Wow.
So yeah, and that's it makes you laugh, but it's so sad because, you know, that means that those chickens they have no rights. I mean, they're treated as if they're non living beings.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, this kind of takes it to a different place. So can you talk a little bit about like speciesism and why kind of that's important to the conversation?
Yeah, speciesism is essentially the idea that humans are supreme to all other species, and this is the guiding force that animal agriculture uses to justify, for example, calling chickens vegetables and getting away with criminally abusing them. And one of the goals that DXC has as a group is to show people that animals are, they're not objects, they're not things, that they're living beings who deserve the right to live their lives in a way that's going to make them safe and happy and free.
So, I mean, it seems like this kind of, this movement in terms of bringing people together to kind of support larger issues around social justice and just supporting life itself has really kind of gained speed over the past year or two, I guess, with even especially with the advent of the current political environment, I would say. It's actually brought it out even more.
Yeah, I think once people see that there's injustice happening in one sector or one place, it actually inspires them to get involved and see that same discrimination or abuse happening in other places. So, you know, because of the recent rage against Trump, I do think that a lot of other people have opened their eyes and seen that, hey, what, you know, what I feel discriminated about, imagine how these animals must feel.
Yeah, you start connecting the dots between all the different pieces of the puzzle.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that you're right. There has been a growing movement, especially in the last few years, which has really taken off, whether it's people going to the front lines and bearing witness, giving water to animals who are on their way to slaughter, doing actions, doing open rescue. It has really grown, and I think it is because people are starting to not only make the connection, but realize that they can do something about it. And there is just a growing sentiment that animals should have the right to live happy and safe lives.
So, if people want to learn more about Direct Action Everywhere or become more involved, where can they go? Where can they look at?
Yeah, that's a really good question. They can go to directactioneverywhere.com. They can also sign up to be on our mailing list, dxc.io/signup. And basically what that does is it will put you on our mailing list, and if there's anything ever huge happening, for example, the FBI raids us and all of the leaders of DXC get thrown in prison, you'll hear about it. And you can definitely probably take some sort of action, too. And if you are in the area, if you're in the East Bay, we have the Berkeley Animal Rights Center, where we organize a lot of events. And, you know, you're welcome to come there. And I would just say keep up to date, join to be on the mailing list. And, whenever there's an action, come join us. Come help us expose the violence that these companies are subjecting animals to day in and day out.
I know that you guys had a huge conference last year where I guess a lot of you were trained in terms of becoming socially active like this. Do you intend to have another conference like that this year in Berkeley?
Yes, there's going to be that's a really good question, and I should have actually said that. We're having the Animal Liberation Conference during the end of May this year, and it's going to also focus on training activists to do some of these incredible actions where we are taking a lot of people inside of places where they can get, where they can get all these skills of documenting abuse, of saving animals, and people will be getting trained for that. And it's going to be huge. Last year we had over 500 people join us while we rescued animals at a massive chicken farm. And this year we can do the same.
Is it something that you guys can kind of broadcast the classes or the sessions that you do have where other people can learn more about it, or is it something where you have to be there?
Yeah, and just to correct myself, when I was saying we can do the same, I was talking about, we can train. We're going to be doing the same in terms of training people this year and stuff. I'm just saying that just in case. I know that people are very interested in what we're going to be doing at the conference.
Yeah.
And sometimes those people don't have the best intentions. But we usually do broadcast all of our trainings and stuff, and you can find them on Animal Liberation Conference Facebook page.
Okay.
They're all live streamed. They don't get a ton of views because they're not, the highest quality, but they are there. So if you want to listen in, you totally can.
Awesome.
Most of the stuff will be broadcasted, if not on most of there will be some high quality stuff on our page. For example, any of the key speakers and the talks, but the low key stuff is on the conference Facebook, and people can watch it.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate your taking the time to chat today, and we'll stay in touch, and definitely, you know, hope for the best in terms of with your legal situation, and you know, pray for your lawyers to be able to pull through and make sure that you're able to continue doing what you're doing.
Thank you so much. It was really great speaking with you, and thanks so much for your passion for animals, and you know, for everything that you do for them. And definitely let's keep in touch. And if you're ever in the Bay Area, and we'd love to have you at the Berkeley Animal Rights Center.
I would love that.
Connect in person.
I would love that. Awesome. Well, give my regards to the others. We'll talk soon. Okay. Thanks, Priya.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Thanks. Take care. Bye.